Well, we started the series on the Holy Spirit. And the first week we said, who is the Holy Spirit? And the first point was, we said the Holy Spirit is a person. He is personal. He's not just characteristics. He has personal characteristics. He is a person. And we said the way you can know he's a person is because he has the attributes of a person. The Holy Spirit was promised. Jesus said, if I go away, if I go to heaven, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And he did. He did. So the Holy Spirit is a purpose. And he was a promise that was fulfilled. The promise was that I will come. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And the disciples, when the Holy Spirit came, they were changed on the day of Pentecost. The promise was fulfilled. They were changed. And he is present in every believer today. He is in our lives. So his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is for us. It's for all true believers. So who's the Holy Spirit? He's a person. The second week we said the Holy Spirit is divine. That means he is actually God. He's not just a spirit floating around. He is actually God. We said he's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He has all the attributes of the Godhead of each individual part. He is equal with God the Father. He's equal with God the Son. And we use a little inscription that Jesus went up. Remember that? Jesus went up. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit came what? Down. And then the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do what? Go out. Let's help me out. Come on, guys. Jesus went what? Up. The Holy Spirit came down. And he gives us power to do what? To go out. So that's what we have done so far. Last week, if you weren't here last week, you missed it. Last week, my brother-in-law, Roger, had a message on the Holy Spirit and prayer. And he said so many amazing things. If you didn't get to hear it, you can go to our website and you could hear it there. But one of the things that I really appreciated was that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He even interprets our prayers for us. He interprets our prayers so that when he prays, we pray, we are actually praying what God wants us to pray and what he wants to answer. And I thought that was an amazing thing. Well, this week, we're going to talk about having a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, if you have Christ into your life, that means that the Holy Spirit is in your life right now. The Bible says this, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. It's also referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you come to Christ, that he baptizes you into his Spirit. So that's where we're going to look at today, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's all kinds of different chairs. I put three chairs up here in front this morning. I think one of my favorite kinds of chairs is recliners. You know, there's a chair called Lazy Boy. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you have a Lazy Boy chair. I don't. My wife wouldn't buy me one. But there are those that are called Lazy Boy. How about this one? There are rocking chairs. In our house, we have dining room chairs and we have kitchen chairs. Stools. In our bedroom, we have wingback chairs. Those are real comfortable for sleeping in. There are folding chairs that we put around our table when we need some extra seating. So those kind of chairs you can put up and take down. How about office chairs? In my office, I have a chair that I can rock back in, and it's real comfortable, and it's good for sleeping sometimes. But how about when you're a kid? You have high chairs. We just got rid of a high chair that was an antique. It was the one that I used growing up. And then there's also infant seats. And that's kind of an interesting one. Our kids, we had infant seats. Nowadays they have such elaborate ones. They have them that they rock and they vibrate and they do all these kinds of things. All kinds of seats for children. Here's one. Wheelchairs. How important is it for somebody who is chair-bound to have a wheelchair? It gives them mobility. The Americans with Disabilities Act made it so that buildings like ours have to have access and egress to our facilities so that people can come and people can go in a wheelchair. Chairs are found in everybody's house. And everybody may have a favorite chair. When I go into a home to visit somebody, I usually ask them, where would you like to sit? And they'll say, no, where do you want to sit? Well, which chair are you most comfortable in? And then I try to pick something else. I actually had this happen to me, not in this church, my previous church in Ohio, but I went to somebody's house. I'd been up with somebody most of the night who was really ill, and I'm sitting there in a chair, and then the next thing I realized, I felt some slobber coming out of the corner of my mouth, and I realized that I had fallen asleep in the chair, and I said to them, how long have I been asleep? I said, about 15, 20 minutes. And then I asked the question, I said, was I snoring? And they said, yes, and you were drooling. Well, that's kind of, we're going to talk about chairs today, and we're going to talk about three different kinds of chairs, or three different chairs. And it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through chapter 3, verse 3. So here's our text for today. Says this, now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. First one is the natural man. Catch that? The natural man. Now what are the characteristics of a natural man? He says he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, chair number one here, the natural man does not understand, does not have the Spirit of God in his life. So if you're in this chair, everything we say today is probably not going to make much sense to you. Doesn't understand what he hears. He doesn't have any sense of what is spiritual, the natural man. He thinks any kind of talk about God is foolishness. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't want to know about it because he is spiritually dead. He is spiritually dead, and so therefore he cannot understand it. Maybe he's opposed to anything that's spiritual or supernatural. And you know what? You really can't talk to that person about spiritual things because they're spiritually dead. Somebody who is dead can't talk, can't think. He believes in only what he can see, things he can touch, and things he can taste. So that person is spiritually dead. And that's what's described there. Natural people cannot understand the Christian life. They don't understand the Christian experience. And they are spiritually dead. Now look at verse 15. Catch this. By he that is spiritual. Now here's the second one, the middle chair. But he who is spiritual, the spiritual person, the spiritual man, judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man, it says, has the mind of Christ. This man definitely doesn't. He doesn't understand spiritual things. The spiritual man understands the mind of Christ. The reason is that he has had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and he has the Holy Spirit living inside of him. He is the spiritual man. Going on to chapter 3, we read this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. And here's the third man in the third chair. But as to carnal, even unto babes in Christ, have fed you with milk and not with solid food. For to this time you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. Verse 3 says this, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as a man? Now, the word carnal that we're referring to this man really means worldly. The Bible says that we're not to love the world. We're supposed to love Christ. And so this person loves the world, but he says he loves Christ. He's not like this person. He's not spiritually dead. He has the Holy Spirit in his life, but he's carnal. His decision-making is skewed, so he's thinking about himself. What is important to him? Why does he think that way? Because he is carnal, the Bible says. Literally, someone who loves the world as much or more than he loves God. Three people. And actually, those three people are indicative of everybody who is here today. The person here who is spiritually dead, the person here who wants God to be the center of his life, and the person here who still wants to run his life himself. Three people. Now, I think we have a diagram we can put on the board up there. The natural person. Can we run that? Yeah, there it is. Yeah, this person here. You see, the self. And look at how things are arrayed around him. It seems like it's in confusion. This person here doesn't understand why life goes on and all the circumstances. Everything that happens is a catastrophe. That person is a person whose self, all they think about is themselves. And notice the disarray. And notice that the cross is outside the realm of their life. The cross is outside of their life. And selfish ego is basically running. They're interested in me and my and mine and us. And Christ is not a part of that. And the Holy Spirit is not leading them and guiding them. But the second person, the person in the middle chair, the second person, that person, you notice that has Christ in the center of their life. Christ is in the center of their life. But you know what? Self is still there. And there's a battle that goes on inside of everyone who's a Christian. It's a battle between self, selfishness, and Christ. And that battle goes on every day. Who's going to be on the throne of your life? One thing I like about this is that notice how things are much more in order because you're relying on Christ for your help. You're relying on Christ. And you know what the Bible says? You have to deny yourself, and take up your cross and follow him. How often do you do that? Lord, I want your will, not mine. I want you to be the ones calling the shots. Christ is the center of their life. And notice how their life is in balance because you're not in charge. Christ is in charge. So when you come to making a decision, you say, Lord, what do you want? It's not my will, but it's your will. What do you want, Lord? That third person, the one in chair number three, the carnal or worldly person, battle between self and God. And notice who's winning. Self is winning many times. Well, in fact, when it comes time for making decisions, it's not what God wants, it's what do I want. What do I want? Much of the time, selfish ego is in charge. And God gets crowded out of that center part of our lives. We make choices, make decisions. Decisions are made without even asking God's Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? This person here, you notice that there's quite a bit of chaos in their life. Trying to figure things out by themselves. Three chairs represent of three different kinds of lives. The natural person, spiritual person, and the carnal person. Would you like to know? What seat are you in? Everybody's on one of these three chairs. If you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you're allowing him to work in your life, you're in the center chair. It becomes a daily battle, yes. But Lord, what do you want in my life? What do you want in my marriage? What do you want in what I'm doing? And you're relying on him. The person over here, they don't understand that. That's foreign to them. They don't care about those things. The natural person. So what does the natural person need? What does the natural person need? The Bible describes that as salvation. They need to be born again. They are spiritually dead. I love what 1 John 1 says. It's on your screen. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. This person doesn't understand light. They're walking in darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If you claim to have fellowship, and yet you walk in darkness, you lie and do not live by the truth. But if this person walks in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And look at this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, that salvation, purifies us from all of our sin. How do you get from this seat to this seat? The blood of Jesus Christ. By asking him to forgive you of your sin, you move from this position of being dead spiritually to the middle position. That's the position. I love what John 3 says. Because just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, Jesus, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Everyone who believes in Jesus moves the middle seat. Everyone shall have eternal life. And then John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. You know, when he says the world, he's talking about me. He's talking about you. God so loves you and me. God so loves you and me that he gave his one and only Son. God gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him, that's where faith comes in, should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. I like that. That means God didn't send Jesus in the world to say, nah, 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 you're just a bunch of sinners. He sent him here to save sinners. If you're not a sinner, God can't save you. He didn't to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, I love this. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the Son of God. You know what? This person is already condemned because they haven't believed. They are spiritually dead. But you move from this position to this position through faith in Jesus Christ, by placing your faith in him. So what does this person need? This person needs salvation. They need to understand salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, that means Christ lives in them. That's God's Spirit lives in you. You are a new creature, a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. He forgives sinners. He forgives us. The old is gone. Characteristics of this person here, the carnal person, the worldly person. They don't desire to read their Bible. They don't desire to pray. They're disobeying God and how they're living. Sometimes they're very extremely legalistic, and all they can think about is coming up with rules and regulations for everybody else. Sometimes they struggle with impure thoughts. Maybe it's pornography, whatever it is. They're in Christ, but they've got all this sin that's pulling them down like an anchor. It's like a chain that's around them. They're up and down spiritually. There's no power in their life. And they're consumed by worrying, by doubts, and by critical spirit, and deceit, and defeatedness. So what does this person need to do? What does the person in this chair need to do? What does God want? The answer is this. God wants to not only just be in their life, but he wants them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill their every area of their life. He wants to control their life. God wants to control this person's life. So it comes down to a question of who is controlling your life if you're a child of God? Who's controlling your life? Are you? Or are you allowing Christ to do that? Is Christ really the center of your life? Is the Holy Spirit the one who's controlling you? You know how you can tell? Galatians chapter 5. You know, we have all kinds of trees in blossom right now, and the way you can tell what kind of tree it is by the fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? Galatians 5 says it's going to produce love. Are you a loving person? It'll produce joy, peace, If you don't have peace in your life, are you in this chair or this chair? Kindness, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kind of fruit that people in this chair should have. That kind of fruit. Fruitfulness to witness to others. Fruitfulness to have effective prayer life. Fruitfulness to hunger for God's word. Fruitfulness to be obedient to God. So if you're in chair chapter 3, what should you do? Your desire should be to move to this chair by allowing God to work in every area of your life. Let me tell you that the way you get from this chair to this chair is, number one, the Bible says you need to confess your sin. Tell God the sin that's in your life and give it over to him and ask him to forgive you. The second thing is you need to present every area of your life. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. And then to forgive him every area of your life. Romans 12, verse 1 says this, that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Open up every area of your life. And the third thing is, by faith, allow the Holy Spirit to fill and control every area of your life. Every area of your life. I think that's a daily thing. Lord, today, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to walk. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this, don't get drunk with wine. Now, I hope you're not in the habit of getting drunk, but when you see somebody's drunk, how do you know they're drunk? They don't have control of themselves. He's saying, don't get drunk with wine, but in the same way, look at this, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word fill in the original language literally means to be continually filled. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in salvation. Filling of the Spirit comes regularly. God, fill me with your Spirit. It really means to allow Christ to affect your life so much that you are literally walking in the Spirit. Our grandkids, when they learn how to walk, you know, our little Annalise, she was slow at walking, and it seemed like she would take about one step, and then she would fall down. And then we come rushing over and get her back up. And then she doesn't want to take another step for a while. She takes another step. Finally, she got to the point where she was taking one step, two steps, and falling. Then one step, two steps, three steps, and falling. And finally, now she's running all over the place, and she's driving her parents crazy. But you know what? That's the same way in the spiritual life. Each day, when you commit your life to Christ and you allow him to control your life, you're going to have some ups and downs. But he says, walk by the Spirit. That's what that verse says. Walk by the Spirit. So you take one step, and a second step, and another step, and another step. And so this Holy Spirit helps you to take one step at a time. And so you walk by the Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life if you want to move from this chair to this chair. So my question is, what chair are you in? This one? You need salvation. This one here, you need to commit your life to him and confess your sin and allow him to come into every area of your life. And by faith, allow the Holy Spirit to control you. And that moves you to this chair. That moves you to that chair. I really think that where the effectiveness is when you're in this chair and you're allowing God to control your life. Because in this chair here, or this chair, you're all bound up. You're all bound up. The chains of life hold you down. So it really comes down to this. Do you want to be free? Do you want to really be free to have an effective life? Do you really want to move to this light here? Or are you still bound by these chains? The Spirit-filled life. For Christ is the center. His Spirit is controlling your actions and your thoughts. You're still going to have the old battles. But it really comes down to that. I see certain people are bound in chains. He said, oh, gee. Addictions, sinful habits. And the Bible says that you can be free from these chains. You can be free. That God will help you. If you're in this chair, you need salvation. If you're in this chair, you need to allow Christ to work in every area of your life. So my question is this, what chair are you? What chair are you? I hope that you'll think about that. What chair are you in? Are the chains of life holding you down? Are you having victory? Or are you defeated?